some of the kinds of questions that come up when you start to work with the sensations in the body can include, what happens if it lasts a long time? Do you spend your whole sitting being aware of a pain in your knee or something? And you don't want to make a struggle out of the meditation, so that if there's something opening in your body, you give it attention as best you can. And if it becomes a struggle, then you can just release that and go back to your breathing quite naturally. Be aware of the breath for a while and then go back to it again in an easier way later. You don't want to make the meditation something where you're fighting against yourself. It's rather to allow yourself to open. Another question often comes up, what about if your legs fall asleep? Or what about if you get pins and needles and tingles and so forth? And you can experiment with that. Sometimes you can sit and feel what the pins and needles are like and let that be part of the wave of meditation. In other words, you can sit and learn how to be with even something that intense. But then after a while, if it's too much or it seems too much to focus on all the time, then just simply change your posture and again come back and work with the breath or whatever else is there in a natural way. In the same way that we're paying attention to the sensations of the body, also if sound arises, it can be included in the awareness. So there you are feeling the breath in the nose or the breath in the belly or the chest, and all of a sudden there's a loud sound or an airplane goes overhead or a truck that goes by or whatever it is, and you can simply feel the sound as it touches your ear. And you can note, if you wish, hearing, and let the sound be a wave just like the breath is a wave, and you remain centered in the midst of it. When the sound passes, then you return naturally back to the breath. It's really helpful to know how to work with sound in meditation because lots of circumstances are kind of noisy. I had a friend who was meditating who lived in the city quite near a firehouse. And at first he would get really upset because there he'd be very peaceful, feeling his breath. And then the sirens would go on. And what he learned after some time was that he could include the sirens. He kind of made a game for himself. When the sirens would start, he would see if he was really present and mindful at that time. And after a while, he began wishing that the siren would come more often because it would wake him up. So let us look at some of the common states that arise as one begins to meditate that become difficulties or distractions. One of the first of these is the wanting mind. It's sometimes called the if-only mind. You're sitting here meditating, minding your own business perhaps, or you're sitting here meditating, just following your breath, and all of a sudden your mind says, if only I had something to eat, or if only it were warmer, or if only it were cooler, or if only I had a more comfortable meditation cushion, or if only this or that. Do you know the if-only mind? It's the mind that comes and taps you on the shoulder and says, if only you could get this, then you would be satisfied. Your life would be fulfilled. But the problem with the if-only mind is that as soon as you get that, the if-only mind doesn't stop. It says, all right, I got a nice car. Now I want more money in this relationship. And it's always something that we don't have, something in the future. So what do you do when this force of wanting comes? First, you see it for what it is. I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said, there are two great disappointments in life, not getting what you want and getting it. And you see that it's just the wanting mind, and you see it for what it is. In seeing it, you can name it in the same way that we acknowledge the pleasure or the painful sensations in the body. You can note desire or wanting, and instead of getting up and opening the refrigerator or whatever your common distraction is, you sit there and feel the hunger or the wanting, and you name wanting, wanting, or if only, and sense what that energy is like. And then you have a choice. Will you get up? Maybe it's the wise thing to do. Or perhaps you can also learn to know the wanting mind and to find a place of peace that doesn't have to follow each of those as they arise. As you acknowledge desire or wanting, you begin to see that your mind is a little bit like a child. I know when I took my daughter to Disneyland, I want this kind of candy, and I want to go on that ride, and I want this. And our minds aren't very different, really. You sit still, and it wants all these things, and you can say, yes, that's nice. You don't have to be angry with your child, but you just see it for what it is. You see the mind for what it is, and you find a place of rest in the midst of knowing, of wisdom. Another way to understand what we can do with the energies that arise is to imagine that you could bow to them. Not that there's something wrong with them or you have to follow them, but you can simply say, oh, that's interesting too. When I was in the monastery, we were taught to bow as we entered the meditation hall or bow to the master. And later on, one of the senior monks told me, strictly speaking, you should bow to all your elders. And since I was a new monk, that meant bowing to all the people in the community. And at first I had some resistance to it, but after a while I began to look at each person and see what it was that was beautiful in that person that I could bow to. And then after a while I began to bow before I would eat and bow before I went to sleep, and pretty soon if it moved I would bow to it. And it had such a beautiful spirit to have that kind of respect for what there was that arose, whatever it was. In the same way, our attention in meditation is almost as if we could bow to these great forces of our life. Here is the wanting mind. Then there comes its opposite, aversion, anger, fear, that aspect of the mind that judges or pushes away what our experience is. So you're sitting here, feeling your breath quite naturally, and all of a sudden the mind says, I don't like this. I don't want that. I want that to go away. I hate this. And you begin to feel the opposite energy, the resistance of the mind. When you notice that anger arises, you might also feel the quality that's there just before the anger. Because usually, right before there comes a moment of anger, there will be the sense of hurt, or fear, or some loss. And if we can feel that, we notice how little mercy or kindness we have to ourselves or to another. When we get afraid, or when we feel pain, or when we feel hurt, the response is often anger. And yet what is most healing is to acknowledge the anger and also to notice that which brings cause to it, to hold that in the care of our attention. In the same way, you can be aware of judgment. Judgment arises, here you're sitting, and your mind wanders, and you say, I shouldn't be wandering, I want to come back to my breath, I'm not doing it right. And then you say, well, I shouldn't be judging either, but what's that? It's just another judgment, right? And you say, and I shouldn't be judging that either, and pretty soon there's a string of judgments. So what do you do with judgment? You sit there and you bow to it, and you say, oh, there's the judging mind. Everyone has it. Other common energies that arise that are difficulties as one begins to meditate. Sleepiness. Sometimes you sit down and you feel so sleepy and your head begins to nod. It can be caused by different things. Part of it is simply that we live so busily. And you sit down and you get quiet and your body says, remember me, I haven't had enough rest. You've been running around too much. And so then you can take the sleepiness as a reminder from your body for care, for greater rest. Other times you'll sit and get sleepy, and it's not so much that you haven't had enough sleep, but rather that the energy of the body becomes so quiet in the meditation that we're not used to being quiet and alert. In that case, you want to sit up straight, or let your eyes be open a little bit, or even more open than that, and bring a brightness or an energy. Perhaps breathe a few breaths more deeply. And then you can notice the sleepiness. In the same way that you bow to judgment or anger or the wanting mind, you can simply acknowledge, oh, here's sleepiness. Sleepy, sleepy, and feel what it does. Notice how long it lasts. Maybe some sitting it comes like a fog for a time, and then it passes away. Sometimes it can get very difficult. In my own training in meditation, I went to my teacher and I said, I'm so sleepy all the time. What can I do? And I tried the remedies of sitting up straight or opening my eyes and so forth. Didn't work. Finally, he said, all right, there's a well near your cottage. Go and sit right on the rim of the well. So I went and I sat on the stone at the edge of the well. After a little while, I got sleepy and I started to nod. And I looked down and there was 60 feet of space. And the fear and the adrenaline rush that came kind of sat me right up again. And my meditation got a lot easier with my sleep sitting on the edge of the well. It's not to say you have to struggle with these things, but to understand that these are the natural energies of our mind and of our heart, and that they can be included in the awareness of practice. Another common energy that comes in the meditation when you're sitting is the energy of doubt. I can't do this. It's too hard. It's hard to sit still, or my mind is always wandering. Everybody's mind is wandering. Or I'm distracted. Or I'm too young. I should start when I'm older. Or maybe I'm too old. I should have started when I was younger. Or this is the wrong kind of meditation, or whatever. All these thoughts that say, I can't be here where I actually am. I need it to be somehow different. So what to do when your mind doubts? What to do when your mind doubts is very simple. You simply bow to it. Oh, there's the doubting mind. Everyone has it. But you can't do it. Thank you. You're not even doing that right. Thank you. I appreciate your opinion. And simply seeing the doubting mind as it comes and goes. It's a way of finding an inner freedom in the midst of all the stories that the mind can tell to you. And in that way, you come to a new kind of peace. One more thing to add before we go to the next meditation. Just as the moods of wanting or restlessness or doubting or fear or aversion will arise and pass, and we can bow to them and acknowledge them as part of the meditation, so too there will be the movement of mind, the thought factory, you could call it, spinning out plans and memories and imaginations and telling stories. And the simple task in the meditation is to acknowledge that, oh, planning or remembering. And usually when you acknowledge it with a single word or two, planning, planning, it just dissolves like the sunlight on fog. And then you can come back to the next breath. There is a story, if you will, of this holy fool, Mullah Nasruddin. One day he went into the bank to cash a check. And they said, could you please identify yourself? So he reached into his pocket and pulled out a small mirror and looked in it and said, yep, that's me all right. And that's a lot of what your mind does in meditation. It recapitulates the past. Your mind tells the stories of what happened to you, and it imagines this and that will happen in the future, all starring yourself. And after a while, you can even get tired of those stories. So the idea is not to judge them. It's part of the natural working of the mind. But to see that the stories aren't life itself. They're not the reality. They're just the reflection, the second hand. So instead, what you want to do when the mind begins to think is simply to acknowledge it. Oh, there's planning. There's remembering. Sometimes an important thought will come, and you might say to yourself, when the meditation is over, I'll think about that. But for now, let me see if I can make myself peaceful first. Let me see if I can get still. So when the meditation is over, I'll be in a place to really wisely reflect about this problem.